Hello everyone, hello, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel once again, and yet more melancholy tidings from Ukraine, and that is about the North Korean troops which are fighting on Russia's side. So remember where you heard it first, it's almost a year ago, I predicted this was going to happen because Russia running low on manpower, and it's almost exclusively men they use. Their military is about 96% male, which is one of the highest male percentages in the world. They try not to use women in combat roles. Some women have been killed in combat in Ukraine, though, but that's not many out of 120,000 at least. And the People's Democratic Republic of Korea is so desperate for food, oil and so on, they're really just selling their people. Already they have people as slave laborers in Russia earning below the Russian minimum wage. And my God, that is low. Some of that goes straight to the North Korean government. So if you're a North Korean, if you get three meals a day, you're doing well. So it's a grossly cruel and inhumane regime. Just the sort of barbarically oppressive, sadistic regime that warms the cockles of Putin's heart is the kind of thing he'd like to impose on the whole globe if he had a chance, which is why it's so important that the free world step up and help Ukraine. Well, think about this, you know, about $200 billion of military aid given to Ukraine in the war so far by various other countries. And then what if the United States gives not a penny under Trump, as they may not? And I was looking at the GDP of the European Union. It's over, in dollar terms, about $25 billion a year. So it'd be not even 1% of the GDP of the European Union is what would needed to sustain the Ukrainian fight for another 2.5 years. But I'm afraid there is such parsimony, such short-sightedness, that I don't think the EU would do it. And that's another story. Anyway, so it's increasingly come to light since September this is happening. Partly they're North Korean engineering units, but there are actually combat troops as well. So Russia's always had cordial relations with Pyongyang, but this has grown ever closer since the start of the Ukraine conflict, when Russia's become more of an international pariah, has been less concerned about being in the good graces of the free world. So they've been cooperating in the economic world as well as the military sphere. It's thought the millions of artillery shells have been sold by the North Koreans to the Russians. They're often Soviet-era manufacture, because North Korea is one of the most underdeveloped countries in Asia. Militarily, it packs a punch, but that's partly because they spend virtually all the money on that and almost nothing else on people there. So, you know, economically, they're over a century behind South Korea. Anyway, so they've sent things like missile launches and whatever. On June the 19th this year, there was a treaty on the Comprehensive Strategic Partnership between them. And that's the thing that Putin signed on his state visit to Pyongyang, only his second ever visit to North Korea. They're building another bridge across the Tumen River, and they're going to collaborate on science, on education, on healthcare. Yeah, right. Like Putin would care about the health of anyone, including his own people. And obviously, they've both been lambasting Western sanctions as illegal from two regimes which are rampantly criminal themselves. So a South Korean channel called Chosun, just the old name for Korea, they said the Republic of Korea claims that that North Korea sent an engineering unit to Donetsk, that's in occupied Ukraine, this July, because then they're rebuilding these cities that Russia pounded to dust. So there are 10 engineering brigades in the North Korean army, but so it's thought that at least three of those have been sent. And this is going to earn North Korea $100 million quite easily. So it was on the press the 5th of this month that some North Korean officers have been killed by Ukrainian missiles, and 20 have been killed altogether. And the SBU, that's Ukrainian intelligence, have said this. There's not proof positive of this, but it's broadly accepted to be true. In war, one very seldom has certainty, but this is said with a high degree of confidence. Anyway, Kim Jong-hyun, he's the Republic of Korea's defense minister. And he said that it's quite likely that North Korea may send combat troops to Ukraine. So President Zelensky, earlier this week, he said that the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, that's North Korea, is sending soldiers there. And that's yet more evidence of the increasingly cozy relationship between the Kremlin and North Korea. And says that in effect, Ukraine's already at war against North Korea, as well as Iran. Now, Iran's been sending those Shahed drones, which have been quite important to the Russian war effort for some time. And now, why is Zelensky saying this? He doesn't need more enemies. I suppose because he wants to win more favor with the United States and maybe much of the Western world. Obviously, Iran's in this proxy war against Israel. The United Kingdom shot down some Iranian missiles aimed at Israel a few months ago. So Zelensky is desperate to shore up Western support, and he senses support for Ukraine is flagging, and that's true. You see, Trump has been increasingly unhinged, saying, effectively blaming Ukraine, victim blaming, which is obviously Trump's approach to a sex crime, so not very surprising, taking the side of an aggressor, of an oppressor, against the innocent. And so it goes on. So the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, they have blasted the United States and the Republic of Korea, that's South Korea, saying that they're aggressing North Korea and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, Russia actually has diplomatic relations with South Korea, though they sometimes say, you know, North Korea is the legitimate government of the entire peninsula. So just 3 days ago, Moscow said if North Korea were attacked, then Russia would send troops, because that's a treaty they signed back in June. Said that Russia would come to their aid. Now, I don't see why, well, South Korea is not going to do that, because they've got a very high standard of living, and even they won, they don't want to be blasted back a generation economically. And they've just used this soft, comfortable life. So living standards in North Korea are so low, they can't really get much worse. And that's one of the difficulties. It reminds me about the Vietnam War, bombing North Vietnam, because both North Vietnam was so low tech, had virtually no industry. What could you do to reduce living standards when most people were just using candles and burning wood fires for cooking? They had no electricity, no running water. You couldn't really reduce their living standard any lower. Anyway, because in this country, we can't watch Married at First Sight. We surrender. Anyway. So Moscow's always laying the blame at the door of the United States and its allies for raising tensions in Korea. Okay. So anyway, it's said that some North Korean troops have deserted near Ukraine. But, you know, you think that Ukraine would actually show that, which they've claimed, have the CIA would love to interrogate them and whatever. Eventually they want to go to South Korea. But so one anonymous Western diplomat allegedly said that North Korea has dispatched 10,000 troops to Russia. Doesn't mean they're all going to fight in Ukraine. Probably many. There are other things they can be doing, helping with training, helping with building things, guarding other borders, because Russia's eastern borders are like virtually denuded. They're very, very troops, few troops there. They're very old, very decrepit. There's virtually no equipment, and it's just really an open border. The Chinese, I don't know why they don't actually take back a lot of Siberia north of the Amur River, which they lost in the 19th century. So the Washington Post said that thousands of North Korean soldiers are being trained in the Russian Federation right now and will be sent to Ukraine in December. And that's their source of the SBU, Ukrainian intelligence. Now, of course, we've got to take that with a pinch of salt. Ukraine really wants to emphasize this point, thinking it will make them curry favor with Western countries. So to say, yes, it is relevant to us. North Korea is always threatening the United States, other pro-Western countries like South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan. And therefore, it's very much in an interest that Ukraine doesn't fall. We dare not do anything against North Korea because, you know, they got nukes, but we can kill plenty of them, their troops in Ukraine. So there's a lack of hard evidence about the North Koreans in Ukraine, which has led to some skepticism. No doubt some will be revealed. It's probably overstated. Poland's giving less aid than before. Germany's giving them less aid than before. Trump coming in as president in January, there's about a 45% chance of that. Even the Democrats candidate, Kamala Harris, has returned. She may not have Congress. It's very unlikely she'll have both houses of Congress. Even if she did, the Democrats would probably show less liberality than before regarding Ukraine. So Ukraine wants to emphasize that it's just really the front line of the free world. So to convince countries to keep donating, and this is not just about Ukraine, it's about the Far East, it's about the Middle East and so on. Australia is sending military aid to Ukraine partly for that reason. What else? So there had been road and rail links between South Korea and North Korea. I mean, they'd actually been trading quite well 20 years ago, but North Korea has blown them up, even though they haven't traded for ages. It just signifies a very long way back to go back to the sunshine policy of Roh Moo-hyun. Okay, so the Russian technical support is important for North Korea because, you know, the DPRK is such an outcast state, is so technologically behind, and they just need fuel as well as food. Remember, millions of the people starved to death in the 90s. I remember being an utterly despicable British chap a few years ago, and he was not ethnic Korean, he was white. He was defending the North Korean regime. It's all the United States' fault. Why do you trade with them? Why do you give away your nukes? And then you wouldn't have this. South Korea is very, very prosperous. Wow. So anyway, North Korea supposedly has the second largest army in the world. So even though its technology is two generations behind, numbers count for something. And it can produce a lot of shells, a lot of bullets and so on. Because they put almost no money or effort into anything else, like giving people a half decent standard of living. It's wanting to make smartphones, even some electronics, not really for a consumer market. So Kim Jong-un, who's a supreme leader of North Korea, and he wants to upgrade his armed forces. And of course, Russia's got the know-how. So that's what he's wanting. He's giving them troops in return for some of this technical guidance. So it's got these nuclear weapons, but they could get much longer range. They can't yet reach the continental United States, but they might be able to with Russian assistance. So that's very worrying indeed. What do you do about it as a US president? Do you want to first strike and then you're the aggressor? And so the North Koreans will nuke somewhere, South Korea, Japan, you don't know, even Honolulu. Is it your fault then? Or do you sanctions clearly haven't worked? It hurts the North Koreans, but it doesn't stop them continue to extend their range. But if you don't take decisive action, the situation is going to get worse. And, you know, under Bill Clinton, he frankly appeased them. He gave them some food and fuel. And OK, that's humanitarian. But giving them food, being held to blackmail, that's not as bad as a nuclear exchange that kills millions of people. So I'm Bill Clinton, evil, evil man, mass murder. But in this one, he did the right thing. Just hope for regime change, but there's no sign of that. They thought it might happen when Kim Jong-il 2011, but there's no sign of it. So that's why Kim Jong-un, he's the absolute ruler of North Korea. He visited Vostochny Cosmodrome. That's him in the Russian Far East. Because they would like some of that space technology. The North Koreans openly covet Russian rocket technology and so on. So they might improve their ballistic missiles. So it's all very troubling, particularly if you're in Northeast Asia. North Korea has also got most incredible mineral resources. It's estimated up to $10 trillion worth. You know, if they were to get even a fraction of that, that would boost their economy hugely. Okay. So their economy is only worth in, you know, the several billion dollars a year, 20 million people. But I mean, after Afghanistan, about the poorest country in Asia, it's got coal, but all sorts of metals and so on. So the People's Republic of China, they're exploiting North Korean mines and political dissidents, they're made slaves in these mines. Because of sanctions and so on, China and others are not investing as much as they might have done in this mining, which is very low tech. North Korea could market these goods to Russia, to elsewhere. So anyway, North Korean aid shells has helped Russia keep up the pace. They've been pressing on all fronts for about 6 months. It sort of reminds me of the last 3 months of the First World War, the 100-day advance. They attack everywhere, pressure everywhere. And the Germans could stop and attack one place, and then it would slack off there, and they'd intensify elsewhere, and they constantly have to move reinforcements back and forth. It was exhausting. The one thing is the Russians don't seem to have enough armor or anything else to then exploit a breakthrough, to go really fast. It makes, to use a rugby analogy, to go from a scrum to passing it to the backs, or really speed over the try line. No, it's always going to stay in the ruck and maul at best. So Russia's offering massive inducements to volunteer, up to $60,000 per annum if you're a Muscovite, which is a staggering sum of money for a Russian. But it doesn't work. There's almost nobody left in prison they can send to the battlefront. Very few Central Asian laborers they can twist the arm of, and so on. So they don't want a general mobilization. So that's how Russia has been able to exploit effectively its satrapy, North Korea, to ensure that they can keep up the pace of the war and grind down the Ukrainians. This attritional warfare would be almost impossible for Russia if it weren't for Iran and North Korea. So why has the United States refused to allow Western weapons from hitting deep inside Russian territory? Partly, I suppose, they think that Russia would then encourage North Korea to do something. So Yemen's another area where Russia realized they can cause problems for the Western world. And Putin said this a few months ago: if you do something against us, I will give enemies to your weapons, weapons to your enemies elsewhere. He didn't name countries or organizations, but Viktor Butt, the Lord of War, you might have seen that Hollywood movie, The Lord of War, was based on him. He was caught by the CIA in a sting in Thailand about 15 years ago, served years in prison, and was released as part of that prison swap a few months ago. So Butt is back in Moscow. And he supposedly brokered an illegal arms deal with the Houthi movement, which of course is pro-Iran because they're Shia. And in August this year, large amounts of military hardware supposedly arrived in Korea, as well as in Korea, in Yemen, which is leading to an upswing in the conflict there. So the PRC has decided to remain placid, to keep out of it. They're quite circumspect as usual. So obviously Russia is heavily reliant on China economically. The Chinese are pleased that their North Korean and I suppose Russian allies are doing well. Moreover, it's meant there's so much in the Western trade, they can't think about containment of China or taking severe action. I mean, China had this big military exercise in the Straits of Taiwan recently, 153 warplanes flying there. Was it a shot across Taiwan's bows? Was it a warning to anyone who might come to the aid of the Taiwanese? Or what? Was it defensive, as the PRC will say? I mean, in fairness, according to them, and legally, actually, Taiwan is part of China. So what is to be done, as Lenin would say? Goodness, I mean, sanctions against North Korea can't go much further. Close more embassies, because obviously they try to smuggle things to deal drugs or whatever via other countries. But then you don't have a listening post to spy on North Korea. You might say, do you really need one? Doesn't make that much difference when technology is so advanced. I mean, the sanctions against Russia have not gone far enough. And secondary sanctions have not gone far enough. Thinking of how the sale of ship navigation equipment to Tajikistan has increased about 15-fold since this war began. Tajikistan is a landlocked country. They are blatantly selling on to the Russians. So there's much more should be done in terms of sanctions and military aid. Anyway, thank you for watching the channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.